Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. And I hope you are having an absolutely terrific day today. Hope you guys had a fun, safe, awesome weekend. Hope you guys enjoyed yourselves. We got some nice rain down here, I guess you could say, for a little bit that made it really muggy and hot and humid. And now we're kind of in the first phase of the pollination, spring, early summer. Back to early summer, back to spring pollination. You know, Florida, we have like about 10, 12 different seasons here, and they all kind of bounce back and forth. There's nothing really ever consistent with
it. Giant mono season.
Yeah. It's
with little ripples.
Ripples up and down, up and down, up and down. So again, if you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com. A lot of people were emailing me over the weekend. I was checking some emails asking about the magnesium brain food. Yes, it's on sale for product of the week. No, you don't need a coupon code for it. Simply add it to your cart, and it's already on sale for over 12% off. This is one of the most effective products we have that helps out with memory, helps out with learning, that helps out as far as with being able to detoxify the brain as well. Can also help out with muscle performance and, you know, endurance in the gym. And this product is safe. That from what I have personally seen with children, I use it in my children's own diet on a regular basis with very positive effects. So again, as people are asking me that, there's an age limit or anything like that. This is magnesium thionate. The body loves this stuff. It absorbs it. It's great. Lana has run it on every single pregnancy that we have had. All the babies turn out to be very, very healthy and very, very sharp. It's
smart.
Again,
smart
kids. Magnesium is used over 300 different mechanisms in the body. It's incredibly important. And the problem with it is magnesium in most cases is massively depleted from lack of diet, from, you know, basically dehydration,
alcohol,
all types of different topics that rush magnesium out of the body. And because it doesn't really build up long term and stay there, it's not, you know, a fat soluble mineral, the body's constantly needing to replenish it, especially down here in Florida. If you know how it is, you know, basically when hell comes to Florida, so to speak, with the heat and it's 110 degrees outside and you're sweating everything you do, magnesium is even more important along with the proper electrolytes to keep your body functioning properly. So be sure to check it out at healthmasters.com, on sale for over 12% off. And, you know, one of the first things I wanted to get into this morning, I found this is interesting because, you know, I bring this up a lot as far as with children's diets and morning breakfast cereals. And one of the worst things you can give them is homogenized cow's milk with processed cereal, especially stuff like Kellogg's with Fruit Loops and everything else. Well, it's interesting now, as I guess the cereal companies are trying to make a boom on the inflationary rates that are happening right now. And again, trying to make people, I guess, as continually sick as they can. Kellogg's CEO, Gary Pilnick, has come under fire after suggesting Americans can save money now by eating cereal for dinner. His comments come at a time when Americans are spending the highest percentage on income on food in decades. And he made a comment on NBC saying, "The cereal category has always been quite affordable, and it tends to be a great destination when consumers are under pressure. We've got to teach consumers when we are, we're advertising them that cereal is great for dinner." So not only do they want you to get your GMO corn along with your high fructose corn syrup and your artificial colors for breakfast now and your children and your diet, they want you to eat it for dinner now. And I can tell you one thing, cereal with homogenized milk is probably one of the worst meals you can possibly eat. Not only is it devoid of any type of nutrient density, virtually no digestible protein, especially with the ultra-pasteurized milk now that I talked about last week that's so processed, it's not even really considered a food anymore. It's just considered a processed food item. And then on top of that, you're eating all that sugar. You want to talk about packing on some weight fast, Dad, some body fat?
Well, you know,
not to mention messing up your blood sugar.
Well, you know what? It's funny. It's like eating swine fattening feed.
Yeah, that's literally what it is.
You know, I have a friend of mine, and he had a daughter, and we helped her lose like 100 pounds, and her favorite food was cereal.
Yeah,
cereal with homogenized milk constantly, and she went up to close to 300 pounds, and then she lost a bunch of the weight and to go to a wedding, and then came back right after that and started gaining all the weight back.
Oh, yeah, it happens fast.
Her favorite food, cereal. And, I mean, if you really want to pack on weight, use whole milk and cereal, or peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and whole milk. It'll help you with all that bread. And the thing they're not talking to you about is the fact that cereal is contaminated with glyphosate.
Heavily.
And probably a lot of it has MSG in it. I'm not saying any brands here because I haven't had it personally tested. But the problem is, you talk about a bad product. You talk about a product that's unbelievably toxic.
And it's addictive.
And so what makes you want to eat more and more and more of it. And so what ends up happening is you just sit there all day long eating cereal. And it's kind of like ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, ice cream is addictive to me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could sit here and eat a pint or half a gallon if I wanted to of some really high-quality organic ice cream. That's why I keep it out of the house.
Yep.
It's just easier not to buy it. And, you know, I used to tell Sharon all the time, just keep the stuff that's not healthy for you out of the house. And she agreed. Because if you start buying it for just a regular consumption, you're going to eat it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, who in the world doesn't like sitting around eating a bowl of
ice cream.
You know, with some nuts and some fudge on it? I mean, you know, if you don't like that, you're kind of like not American, I guess. But I think I love it. Probably shouldn't have said that, but it's true. And, you know, and so it's just one of those things, but it's, I keep it out of the house.
Or use it for a special occasion. Yep. You know, you're going to burn through it for a birthday or something.
No, birthdays are fine. But just don't. I have a friend of mine. He's dead now. No surprise here. And he was one of those guys that basically ate ice cream every single night for dinner, every night. And he didn't realize that all that sugar and all that dairy and all that stuff massively increases the risk of prostate problems. He ended up with prostate cancer. And he was about, 75 pounds overweight. And he was a great guy, good friend of mine for many, many years. And he called me up. He says, I have prostate cancer. And my response to him was, okay, what do you think was going to happen with your diet? And he goes, well, I didn't really think I was going to come down with cancer. I'm like, well, that's one of the primary causes of cancer is diet. So, what do you want to do? Well, I want to go ahead with chemotherapy and the radiation and the, radioactive pellets and all the rest. And I said, well, why don't you get a couple other, opinions? I said, just because this doctor wants to do all this and put radioactive pellets in you, you might want to kind of just sit back and realize that in many cases with prostate cancer, it's so slow that you can't really die from it. You'll die from something else first since you're massively overweight anyhow, and you're probably going to die with something with your heart. And I'm not trying to speak negative stuff over you, but, you're really out of shape. And he goes, well, I'm going to go ahead and go with the pellets and do the radiation and the chemo and all the rest. And I said, okay, well, it's your call. And 3 months later, he was dead. Told you it wasn't a happy story. And he was a good friend, too. I loved him. But he used to sit down every single night and have a big bowl of ice cream. So it's not something that's healthy to do. It's just not healthy whatsoever. I know I've read many studies, and I'm not saying that if you have prostate cancer that you shouldn't do something. You should do something. But the reality is going in and having massive, a prostatectomy and prostate surgery, why don't you get some different opinions first and see what you want to do and find out what cancer it is and how fast it's growing. But now I'm going to give you one word of caution here about cancer. One night I was going to a seminar. I forgot what city it was in. It's many years ago. And the cab driver, this is a funny story. The cab driver has a radio show on. It's a medical doctor talking about cancer. And this guy's one of the top oncologists in the area or in the country. And he started talking about biopsies. And he says, you should never, ever biopsy a tumor. You should just remove it. And I thought, that's interesting. I heard that before, but he was actually explaining it in detail. And he said, it's kind of like this. He said, if you have an aerosol can full of paint that's under pressure, and he said, and you puncture it and put a hole in it, it sprays paint everywhere. And I thought, okay, makes sense. He says, well, the body does the same thing. It puts a protective sheath around the cancer cell so it won't spread. But it's like under pressure because those cells are dividing inside that sheath. It's kind of like inside of an aerosol can. And when you puncture it with a needle to do a biopsy to pull cells out, it opens up the sheath and the stuff blows out of the side and you spread the cancer throughout the body. He says, never, ever, ever biopsy anything. He says, if you have a lump in your breast, just have a lumpectomy, have it removed. And then have it biopsied after you remove it, but don't pierce it, don't puncture it. And I thought to myself, that's really good advice. And so that's the advice I always give people. If you're going to go to an oncologist, tell them just to remove it if you have a lump in your breast. Just take it out around the edges, and you can basically biopsy, see what it is. Make sure you get it, a little bit around the whole area so it hasn't spread anywhere, but don't be puncturing it. Now you think, well, that's crazy advice. I've never heard that from an oncologist. Imagine that. I remember years ago, I had a friend of mine. His name was Howard, and he was kind of like my surrogate dad. I loved the guy. He was a good man. And he came into my mom's bar one time. I told you she had a German beer tavern. And I'll never forget, he had been diagnosed with brain cancer. They had got that subdued, and then he had a spot on his lung. And I told him he was going to go get it biopsied. And I said, don't do that. Don't biopsy something on your lung. Just watch it. You can have it scanned on a regular basis to see what it's doing. But I suggest you don't biopsy because it's extremely vascular. Well, he had this one hot spot on his lung, and they biopsied it. And he came into my mom's bar, and I remember I was there, and I was talking to him, and he told me he had biopsied his lung, and I knew at that point that it was done. It was over. And I hugged him, told him that I appreciated all the stuff he'd done for me for my entire life, and I never saw him again alive. In fact, I never saw him again because they cremated him. And the sad part about all of this stuff is that, they don't tell you this when you go to the oncologist's office. They don't do that. And so, again, I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm just telling you be careful when you start doing biopsies and ask them the question. It was funny. Many years ago, Sharon had developed an ovarian cyst. It was basically a water cyst. But they weren't sure what it was. And the oncologist was so smart. He goes, I'm not going to biopsy this. I said, okay. He says, it'll spread. I said, that's true. And I said, I'm glad you said that. He goes, I want to go in there and just remove it. And I said, okay. I said, he says, it's 99% probably going to be a water cyst, but I just want to make sure because I don't want to spread it in the body. And he went in there and did a bikini cut, pulled it out, took the cyst out, and basically it was a water cyst. But he was so careful, because he was an oncologist, he didn't want it to spread. So think about that for a second on what they say. But that's the routine thing that you go in. You go in, you got a lump, let's biopsy, let's see what it is. But if you got a small lump on breast tissue and it's right there at the surface area anyhow, once you excise it and be done with it, and then get it tested. That's how I see it. Now, that's my opinion. Now, there's an interesting article here from Paul Craig Roberts. It says, the brain-dead American foreign policy establishment. He goes, wow. It's just, and he goes on, and he's talking about what's going on with the foreign policy and everything else. And he goes, the West, he writes, is the modern equivalent to Sodom and Gomorrah. It would have been better to finish our Western European odyssey a century earlier. There now remains little use to be borrowed from the West, though plenty of rubbish seeps in from it. But as we belatedly complete the journey, we will retain the great European culture that is now rejected by most post-European fashion. As the West has rejected itself, it is the evil, and Russia should fence itself off from it. He answered by recent question by saying the culture the West created is now alienated and must be saved by Russia. Now, you think about this for a second, the twist on this. I mean, they're wanting to save the Western civilization because of Russia's stance and what they believe. And you think, you start to realize that even now Joe Rogan has come out, and this is kind of amazing to me, honestly. He starts talking about Christianity. He starts talking about Jesus, and he starts talking about that the world really needs Jesus to come back right now. This is Joe Rogan saying this, that without the moral basis of religion and Christianity, there is no moral basis, and people just do whatever they want to do. Now, for Joe Rogan to say that, maybe he's having an epiphany. Maybe he's starting to realize that just all the filthy stuff that he does on his show is not helping America, but is leading to further moral decline. Maybe he's going to start talking about other things that are better than all of this. By the way, a singer now has come out and just absolutely slammed Taylor Swift. And I've told you this, guys, for years and years and years. You know, a lot of people don't even believe that Taylor Swift is a female. Now, I'm just telling you how people feel. But the thing about it is that you know they're saying that this Irish singer is accusing Taylor Swift of doing satanic rituals during her concerts. Now you think about that for a second. It says Irish singer accuses Taylor Swift of demonic rituals during her concerts. Pop sensation Taylor Swift has found herself at the center of a controversy as Irish singer. Honestly, I don't think she's found herself in the middle of a controversy. Here's why. Number one, she doesn't care. Number two, the mainstream media is not going to report on this. This Irish singer has, but it's not going to go mainstream. Shane Lynch has accused her of incorporating alleged demonic rituals into her stage performances. Lynch claims that Swift, along with other artists, may be participating in satanic rituals during their concerts. The answer is duh. Shane Lynch, a former member of Boyzone, voices concerns in an interview with Ireland's Sunday World, where he suggested that many artists, including Taylor Swift, are unknowingly, staging satanic rituals in front of thousands of fans. Lynch described instances of hoods and masks and fire ceremonies during Swift's shows, pointing to what he perceives as demonic symbolism, such as pentagrams on the stage. It's all true. But he doesn't perceive anything. He's right. The singer, known for his Christian beliefs, expressed worry about the influence of certain music on society, asserting that musicians may be channeling negative forces during their performances. Lynch claimed to have personally witnessed satanic rituals in the music industry, even detailing instances of praying over albums for success. This is satanic prayer. He further emphasized his decision to distance himself from certain genres, particularly in the hip-hop, citing hidden satanic elements he believes can negatively impact individuals emotionally and spiritually. Lynch argued that the effects of such music extend beyond personal preferences, contending that it plays a role in the worsening state of society. He's right. He expressed concern for children, stating that the influence of certain music aims to lead them away from anything considered godly or disciplined. Lynch believes that society's experienced a decline, attributing in part to the influence of music that promotes an increasingly undisciplined and chaotic environment. This is via Breitbart News. Now, I'm going to comment on this for just a second. I can tell you personally, I knew this kid years ago, great kid, and he's turned into a good man, but he was influenced by music, bad, bad influence. And he had an uncle that basically sent him an entire, genre of just filthy, filthy rap music, and then the uncle was basically, addicted to heroin. I mean, this is crazy stuff. And the father found out about this and heard the music and basically destroyed the entire MP3 player, whatever it was back then, because of the filth that was in it. And this heroin addict lady later died of a heroin overdose. And so you stop and you think about it. Well, how does that influence culture? Here's how it does it. And I'm going to kind of give you a brief overview for this real quick. Music has certain frequencies. Those frequencies can create physical reality. They know that. And certain energy fields can do that. You can look at, there's a whole group of studies on semantics. And what it is, they'll take a sound wave and they'll run it through a bass drum lid, and they'll put certain frequencies through the lid, and the sand on top of the lid will actually arrange itself in geometric configuration.
It's pretty cool.
No, it's true.
It is.
And what happens is that's the same thing that happens in the physical holograph that we live in that we call reality here. When you create certain sounds, it creates energy fields that create certain physics, you know, certain parts of reality. You can look it up yourself and look at it. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen. Then that's what happens with the music with certain frequencies. That's why I'm so careful when I go into a church. I mean, Austin and I remember a few years ago, we went into a Baptist church over in Lakeland, great church, but the music was playing so hard, the bass drum was beating, and you could literally feel it pushing through your heart. And I said, I can't deal with this, Austin. This is horrible. And I've seen many churches now, current churches, that do that. Here's the problem that you have. What is that bass drum frequency doing to you? What kind of energy field is it creating in you? They say, they suggest, and this is true. I know this, I've seen it read many times. They actually commit these albums to Satan. In order to give it more energy, and they actually have like an altar up to Satan in many of these doggone places that they do this stuff, in which they dedicate this stuff. You know, look, kids in Satan service with Kiss, really? You know, right? Stairway to Heaven? No. Stairway to Hell is what they should call that show. And then you talk around and you turn around and look at the other one, Highway to Hell. What do you think they're trying to create here? And so be very, very careful when you listen to secular music. I'm not saying don't ever listen to secular music. What I'm saying is I very rarely ever do it. And most of the time I just listen to praise and worship music, but I'm very careful with that too. And I make sure that the lyrics are positive, because a lot of that's a lot of really negative stuff in it too. Be very careful what you put into your mind. And I'm going to say one more thing, and this is when you're in church. A lot of times the pastor will ask you to repeat something from the pulpit. Why don't you listen to what he says before you repeat it? If it's some super negative confession about you or your family, why do you want to do it? I remember years ago I was invited to this Christian retreat for the weekend, and they were asking us to repeat all this negative stuff. And I said, I'm not going to repeat this stuff. It's just too negative. In fact, I got up and left and had them take me back to Tallahassee. I've told you this story because it was in Lake City before I would even stay there for the weekend because it was so negative. And I thought, they were asking us to speak sickness and disease on ourselves. I'm not going to do that. I mean, why would you do that? Why would you create when the Bible tells you the power of life and death is in the tongue, why would you speak negative stuff and disease and sickness on yourself and on your family? Don't do that kind of stuff. So be very, very careful with responsive reading. Just read through it first, or if he says something, why don't you listen to what he says before you repeat it? If you don't agree with it, don't say it. And just say whatever you feel. I thank you, Lord, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Father, please forgive me if I've offended you in anything that I've done or anything I've said. Lord, please always direct and guide me in all the ways that I can. Lord, I repent for any sins that I've committed today. Lord, I ask you to be with me all the days of my life. Speak the stuff that's positive that you know that God will endorse and you'll endorse. And also remembers this. We've got a good friend. His name's David Crank, and he has a mega church.
Yep.
And he says what you do when you pray or when you speak or whatever you do, at the end of the sentence that you pray, put a comma, because that's the way I want it to be.
Yep.
And whatever you speak, you're going to create. That's where the power of life and death is in the tongue. So I'm going to say that again. Do basically a statement, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. Father, I thank you that I'm always at the right place at the right time every time, because that's the way I want it to be. Father, I thank you that I'm always walking into divine health all the days of my life, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. Father, I thank you that my family is together. I thank you that my children love one another. I thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, comma, because that's the way I want it to be. Keep it positive.
And you can check yourself, too, when you're making statements or you're making topics, you know, about stuff as far as on how positive it is or if it's really a positive statement by putting that at the end of saying, is that the way I want it to be?
That's right.
When you make a statement, you go in and say, man, this is, you know, I'm really challenged on this, but it's a good learning curve. I'm going to learn from it and I'm going to grow from it because that's the way I want it to be. Because a lot of times people go, oh, this is horrible. This is a horrible situation. Here's the thing you got to realize. If you're trying to grow, if you're trying to get stronger, if you're trying to push further, if you're trying to obtain things, if you're trying to become successful, it's not an easy journey. It's not. It's going to be challenging. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have things that basically, the gnat in here.
I've already messed
with him.
Yeah, you got zapping.
I got him. You're going to go through challenges. You're going to go through, push through things. There's a reason why the road to success is difficult. And that may be whether it's physical. That may be whether it's, you know, achieving, you know, getting back in good shape, whether it mean financial, it may mean business-wise. Because here's the thing. If 100 people go down a road to go achieve, you know, the gold, so to speak, and only one person obtains it, everybody knows that road is difficult to obtain. They know that there's a significant amount of strain and stress that you have to put into to achieve that, but it's worth it at the end, and that's the way you want it to be because you want to achieve it. If 100 people go down a road to get the bar of gold and 100 people get it, and the gold's divided by 100 people, it's not worth anything anymore. There's no respect to it. Everybody knows it was a very easy road to go down. And that's what you have to realize. Being in shape, staying strong, staying mentally healthy, achieving things, setting goals, growing further. It's not an easy task sometimes. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be painful, and it's going to be something you have to push through. And at the end of the day, is it something that you want to achieve and you want to be and find that success in whatever you decide to do? Is that the way you want it to be? And the answer is yes. You want to achieve it. But always remember, when you start having downtime, there's always ups, there's always downs, there's always peaks, there's always valleys. Whenever you get in the valley, you always got to remember that the peak is always coming next. And there's always a different road as far as ups and downs with it. And so continue to stay strong and healthy on that. And that's exactly right. Be very cautious who you're listening to, whether it be on podcasts, whether it be pastors, whether it be music. There's a lot of really negative things out there on a regular basis that are designed to corrupt your mind and make you think about negative things on a regular basis. What we have watched now with the mainstream media, with the straight up propaganda gaslighting, has been nothing short of complete and total insanity to me. The other day, I saw a clip, and it was about what was going on now with this, as far as with the girl that was killed in what was her name over here with Lakin Riley, as far as in Athens, Georgia, and you know that Pierre, complete total idiot press secretary, gets on NBC and she goes, well, once we figure out who's responsible for this, who's to blame for this, you know, we can address it. And then she goes on to blame Republicans and Trump, still continually, for what's going on at the border, when we already know there were almost 100 executive orders that Biden put in place as soon as he got into office to completely dissolve the entire border. The border is designed to be the immune system of the United States. It's designed to protect it from viruses, from bad things coming into the country. That's why every single country has a border. This is not just something that's new. This has gone back for thousands of years, all the way back to medieval times where they had walls covering the city. That was their border wall that protected them from invaders. It's not a hard concept to address. When you take down that wall, that barrier, that immune system, and you start allowing all these assailants to come in and start doing bad things, at some point in time, you've got to address it, and you've got to say, okay, what are we going to do about this? There's a huge protest with this whole thing as far as in Athens, because now families and friends are realizing this isn't a joke anymore. This is a 22-year-old nursing student that went for a run on campus at 4 o'clock in the afternoon in broad daylight. This wasn't some girl that was out drunk at 2 a.m. and happened to run into somebody that killed her. This is a horrific incident, and it's happening more and more and more. And this is why so many people are starting to really stand up and say, this is the problem. There's an article I realized earlier, it was from Law Enforcement Today, and it said last year in total, then the last 3 years, they've seen a 7,300% surge in the people migrating from Venezuela to the United States. They said the substantial increases raise serious concerns, especially with Jose Labarra, the one who basically killed Lakin Riley. And what they wanted to say here is that a lot of the prison systems have been opened up in Venezuela, and they've dumped them out. The same thing that happened with Fidel Castro in Cuba, when he sent everybody up to South Florida, and that started the whole entire gun wars, the drug wars, everything that occurred after that in Miami. What we're seeing, and I told you, I talked to a friend of mine who's a legal citizen here in the United States, and he's from Venezuela. He said, these guys that are coming here, they're not asylum seekers. They're violent offenders that are militia. They're violent offenders that are prison walkers. They're militia that are being sent here, and we're paying them to come here, and we're paying them to stay in place and stay well-connected with cell phones until the time is coming. What they're doing here is not an accident. This isn't some accidental occurrence, and whoopsie, the border's open, some people are coming here. There's a very real problem, and that's why, again, I encourage people to stay armed and stay strong and stay healthy. Over the weekend, I went to the Strawberry Festival, which is over in Plant City, Florida. Really fun. Way too packed on Saturday. We got there in the afternoon. We stayed there all day. Took all the kids. A bunch of my friends came. Come on, my buddies. I trained with the fire team. They came. They brought their kids. And it was interesting because when we went there, this is why one of the only reasons, this is one of the only festivals I go to. When we got there, my buddy was asking me, said, he hadn't been in a while. He's like, do they allow you to carry it here? I said, oh, absolutely. Lawful carry. This is a pro carry event. And he goes, you sure? He goes, they got metal detectors and stuff. I said, don't care. I'm carrying, period. If they tell us we can't carry in this time now, as they have before, I said, I'm leaving with my kids. And so we get up there and there's two sheriffs. They're walking around. I said, hey, officer, can I talk to you for a second? He goes, yes, sir. How can I help you? I said, this is a lawful carry event, correct? He goes, absolutely. Don't leave home without it. I looked at my buddy. I said, there's your answer. We walked in. Didn't say anything. They asked us if we were carrying. I said, that's fine. Keep it where you have it unless you absolutely have to use it. Enjoy yourselves. There you go. No alcohol served at the Strawberry Festival at all for this specific reason. Huge event. Tons of people. Kids had a blast. I'm not going to lie. I had a cinnamon bun. A big one. They were hot and they were fresh and they just came out of the oven. I walked by and I smelled them and I went, you know what? I can't deal with this. I have to cheat on my diet today. And I did. And then I'm not going to lie. I bought a second one. The kids wanted more. Big cinnamon rolls. And they were absolutely delicious. And I felt horrible the next day. Not mentally. My stomach hurts. I'm not used to eating that type of food. Oh, man. But I'm, you know, it's not something I do. It's a rare occurrence. I eat something like that. But they were just so good. And I told you guys, I keep my diet super clean 95% of the time. And see, that's what it comes down to, though, guys, when I talk to you guys about discipline, whether it be in business, whether it be with life, whether it be with food. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect all the time. Being able, though, to have that discipline when you need it and being able to achieve what you want when you need it is so important, because then at some point in time when you do want to have that cinnamon roll, you can have it. But if you sit on the couch every single night and eat ice cream all night long, probably don't need to be in cinnamon rolls ever, because you're already putting 2,000 calories down before you go to bed of homogenized milk and sugar. And so that's why it's really important, again, to have discipline and have discipline in all areas of your life the best you can. And again, that can be difficult sometimes. I'm not painting some halo over my head saying I'm perfect with everything. But again, discipline is really important to make sure you maintain, especially as well with kids. There's an event now that's gotten almost zero coverage in Atlanta, Six Flags. You guys probably seen this, may have read about it. This happened on Saturday afternoon. 600 teenagers decided they were going to storm Six Flags in Atlanta when it opened for its grand opening on Saturday afternoon. 600. These guys didn't buy tickets. They were not shareholders. They were not pass holders. They stormed in. And when they got inside, they started fighting everybody in the park. Like complete lunatics. You can watch, there's dozens of videos online that have now been posted on Twitter, fighting each other, lunatics. Law enforcement pursued them into the park. Then once they were running out of backside of the park, and it was over by, this is crazy to me here, over by an outside frontage road, multiple of these kids pulled out firearms and started shooting at law enforcement officers.
Wow.
This is a crazy event. Law enforcement returned fire after multiple of their patrol cars were hit, and a 15-year-old kid, who a firearm was found by his person on the ground after he was shot seriously wounded. He's in a hospital now in critical condition. 15-year-old kid returning fire at law enforcement after they just ransacked Six Flags. This is a turning into a horrific cultural problem that we're having now with children that have no discipline. And this is what a lot of it comes down to. It's discipline, and it's the impact of social media and other aspects online in the music industry that is making these kids feel like there are no consequences. My condolences to anybody that may have been severely injured in the park by these lunatics, but I can tell you right now, if you run into a park illegally with firearms and you start shooting at law enforcement, I fully support them to shoot back at you. Just like if I would have been in the park with my family and these goons would have come in and started trying to attack me or my family or my friends, I would have used deadly force, and I would have been fully justified in the state of Florida to do so, because 600 people against one is not a fair fight, period. Five people against one is not a fair fight, period. In the state of Florida, you have stand your ground laws. You do not have the right to start running up and curb stomping people at will because you just feel like you want to act like a lunatic. What's interesting to me about this data, this story has gotten zero coverage whatsoever.
I haven't heard any of it.
Zero coverage.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. You got me. This is my first time.
I pulled it up last night.
Okay. White, black, Hispanic, mixed. What was this?
99% of the videos that I've seen, they were black. Just answering the question. Okay. That's what it showed on the videos.
Okay, and that's a cultural thing then. And so they could have been blacks from the United States. It could have been blacks that had basically
immigrated. They may have been asylum seekers. I don't know. They didn't bother to put any description at all.
Well, they don't. Whenever, I only found it in the video. Whenever it becomes a minority, well, of course, you know, really the immigrants really aren't minorities anymore. They've kind of taken over.
Yeah.
But the crazy part about this is, and I'm not picking on blacks or whites or Hispanic. That's why I asked, what was it? You got to ask yourself a question from a cultural standpoint. You know, when's this going to stop? I mean, really. Now, when you went to the Plant City Strawberry Festival, did they put you through a metal detector when you walked in?
No, they did not. I told them I was carrying.
So you told them that you
were carrying. I told them I was carrying, yes.
Did everybody else have to go through a metal detector?
No, none of us. We were all carrying.
But were there metal detectors there?
Yes, they had metal detectors there.
So once you told them you were carrying, they didn't put you through?
Correct.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they had an enormous law enforcement presence there. Enormous. I'm talking, I probably counted 60 to 70 sheriffs in the general vicinity that we were in overall. And they were all extremely respectful. They were all really nice. Everybody there, there were no fights the entire time I was there. And this place was packed. It was a zoo. I was not comfortable at all with this many people being around me. It was a zoo.
At least people were, you know, able to defend themselves. I remember a year and a half ago, I went to a Christmas concert over in St. Pete. And I'll never forget, they put us through metal detectors. I'm carrying. The whole thing buzzes off.
Yeah.
And I said, when they said, well, you're carrying, I said, of course I am.
Yeah.
And then we kind of funny. What do you mean, of course you are? I said, I'm a concealed weapons carrier. And they said, you didn't have any signs posted out here in the parking lot that we couldn't carry in here. Well, you have to take it back to your car. And my attorney was with me. I was able to handle him, you know, discreetly hand him the gun, and he wouldn't put it in the car. But the crazy part was I felt super uncomfortable in there because I wasn't prepared. I wasn't armed. That's the same thing problem with Disney Village. That's why I hate going there. It's a neat place to go, but I don't want to be there because only the criminals are going to sneak in.
Well, like these 500-600 kids that ran in. They didn't go through the metal detectors. No. They were jumping the fences and jumping the turnstiles. They just ran in. Majority of them carrying firearms.
Well, once society starts to figure out that there's no rule of law that can contain them, then they start having this problem, which brings me back to the story of the girl up there in Georgia. For example, President Joe Biden's impeached pro-immigrant dual Israeli citizen, Alejandro Mayorkas, refused to mention the girl's name when he was asked about his agency's role in the murder. Should this man have been deported? Host Margaret Brennan asked on Sunday on Face the Nation. Mayorkas did not apologize for his role in the murder of Riley and many murder victims or the deaths of thousands of migrants. Instead, he suggested Riley's murder was caused by other Democrats. It's always blame shifting. First, Margaret, foremost an absolute tragedy, and our hearts break for our prayers and family, number one. Number two, most importantly, as a prosecutor, having prosecuted violent crime and other crimes for 12 years, only one individual is responsible for the murder, and that is the murderer. We firmly believe that if a city is aware of an individual who poses a threat to a public safety, then we request that they provide us with the information so we can ensure the individual is obtained, and if so, facts, so warrant. Okay, first of all, that's complete BS. This is covering his bottom.
All lies again.
All lies again. Because, number one, they already knew this guy. He'd been arrested in the
city. He got arrested in New York for felony charges, yeah. And he got arrested in Athens already on charges for shoplifting.
But, I was at the police station last week or 2 weeks ago here in Auburndale. And I've told you we have a friend who basically has a house. He's basically part of a trust.
Yep.
And one of his brothers is a crackhead, and he's moved into the house with his crack buddies. And the police commissioner, the chief said, we can't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, we can go in there and set up another investigation and arrest them, but they'll get right back out again. You know, and because they have a legal right to be there because the crackhead has given them permission to be in the house. So we have a real problem here, and you and I have talked about it before, in that when you have a constitution that's a republic, what ends up happening is set up for a moral Christian group of people.
With a base ethic.
That has a base ethic. Even Joe Rogan's figuring that out now. And so if you don't have the base ethics and everything goes and everything's okay, you end up in a situation where then you just have lawlessness everywhere,
right.
Which is what the Bible says in Peter. It says at the end, it'll have lawlessness everywhere.
Right. And the factor of two that I think a lot of people are starting to realize they need to open their eyes and get the glaze off their eyes because we're watching the final phase of this demise. If you go back to 1984 with George Orwell, one of the biggest key factor components in the last final stage of a tyrannical takeover of a government or country, it's making the population not believe their ears or eyes whatsoever and only believe what they're told. Everything they see with their ears, everything they see with their eyes, everything they hear with their ears is essentially being told to them, oh, this is a lie. This isn't happening. There isn't a migration problem right now. There aren't migrants coming here that are MS-13 gang members and Venezuela militia that are coming here. They're not killing anybody. This isn't any of their fault at all. It's the Republicans' fault. It's Trump's fault. It's Obama's fault. It's George Bush's fault. Heck, it's Ronald Reagan's fault. It's everybody else's fault except who the people are actually causing the fault. And this is one of the final stages. You can read this in 1984, is that the population is at a certain point no longer believes their eyes and no longer believes their ears. And the only thing they believe is the propaganda that is pushed onto them by the mainstream media. And that point, when you reach a point in society with the vast majority, that's a tipping point. Because at that point, the tyrannical government can do anything they want. They can get away with anything. We saw this with the COVID shot. We saw this now in multiple scenarios where everything we've been told is a complete and total lie, and they try to get away with as much as they can. Except this is something now. This is going to be a point to where the American population is going to have to start getting very resilient. We are no longer at a soft point in the country. We no longer have the luxury of enjoying the prior necessities, the softness that we've had in this previous country the last couple decades. We're reaching a point now where this country is going to have to start getting very, very hardened, or they're going to have to get very, very taken over by tyranny. There's only two options here. We don't have the option, the luxury of being soft anymore. We don't. And that's one thing, you know, I was talking to my buddy about, who was at the Strawberry Festival, and his son has just turned 6, and he was asking about jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai that my daughter and son, my Kendall and Hunter, and he goes, yeah, I think I'm going to go over there next week and get him set up, because he went and checked it out the other day, and his son actually really enjoyed it. And I said, don't apologize. Don't ever apologize for raising dragon slayers in a time when dragons actually exist. Remember that. Never apologize for that. What we're dealing with right now is a real problem. Dragons really exist. Bad people are really being told that they have the ability to do anything they want with no repercussions whatsoever. We've already seen now the federal government has said, essentially, these illegals, there are no laws for them. Law enforcement will not enforce anything for them. They will not deport them. They arrest them and they immediately release them. There are no laws. They are completely above the law. Understand that dragons are coming into this country. And don't apologize for raising dragon slayers and staying strong and staying alert and being vocal about what's happening, because the exact opposite is what they want you to do right now. They want you to be quiet. They want you to not talk about this. They want you to believe what they're telling you, and they want you to be a submissive little peasant, sit on the floor, shut your eyes, hum, eat ice cream and Doritos, and watch CNN whenever they tell you to watch it, and don't say anything back. That's what they want you to do. If that's what they want you to do, that means it's our requirement as American patriots to do the exact opposite that they're telling us to do right now. And that's my take on it, Dad.
You know, it's like you said earlier, you know, the road for progress and the road for goal accomplishment is going to be met with challenges.
Always is. It's a struggle.
And so, I mean, it doesn't mean you need to confess it all and be negative about yourself, but you're going to realize it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to have issues. You know, you're going to be married for a long time and your wife may die. And you got to deal with all that. You know, you may have a business and something may happen and COVID hits and you get shut down and you go out of business. You may have a medical issue and you end up in the hospital. Now you're bankrupt.
Yeah.
I mean, life has its own set of challenges that we have to deal with every single day. And if we don't realize that, we're not going to be able to get through it. And we have to realize what the Bible says about what's going to happen in the latter days. 2 Thessalonians 2, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness,
there you go,
is revealed. The man doomed to destruction, he will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. This is when the Antichrist walks out. Don't you remember that? Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed in the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawlessness will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displaying all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, wonders, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. For this reason, they were sent a powerful delusion. Now, I'm paraphrasing some of that. But the point is this. We're in a situation where the man of lawlessness has come in now and done what he wanted to do, and the brain-dead Americans are not paying any attention because they become so insouciant in their own leisure. That's the biggest problem when you have a successful country. is leisure.
Leisure.
Because you no longer do what you did to get to where you are, because now there's a bunch of trust fund
debt. And a lot of this is all inherited. Exactly what we talked about before. A lot of what the United States has accomplished and built now has been inherited. We're trust fund kids now. We have never really put in that hard struggle. You know, the majority of people that survived World War II are all long gone now.
That's right.
They're gone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's something that a lady came up to me. I've completely forgot about this. I'm going to bring this up at the Strawberry Festival. And this just goes right back to what I'm talking about. I'm being really cautious with your children, being cautious who you're around, and being cautious who you associate with, especially with your children. I was there with my wife, Lana, and we had our son, Stetson. He had a big car seat and, you know, big stroller that we had, and we put a bunch of stuff in it. And he was there, and he was sleeping. He's all nice and chunky and sleeping, all warm and cozy. And this lady walks up, real nice lady, and she looks at my son, and she talks to Lana, and she goes, "Oh, my gosh, you have such a beautiful son." And I could see the look on her face. It was almost like happiness, but it was extremely painful. You could read it all over her face. She almost started crying when she saw him. And she kind of went on and on about him, and she goes, I appreciate your child so much. She goes, we just buried my 1-year-old son 6 months ago.
Mm.
And she pulls her phone out, and she's got photos of him, you know, in the little 1-year-old casket. He's dressed up, and it was rough. And she goes, "We don't still know how to really deal with it. We let one of our friends babysit him, and apparently their son basically had fentanyl in the house. Our 1-year-old son basically got into it, barely touched it, and died of a fentanyl overdose at 1 year old. And we don't know if we want to have another baby or not. We're not really sure what we want to do." And we talked to her for a few minutes. We actually prayed with her. She was a really nice lady. And I just thought to myself, you know, how bad would that feel to know that one small situation, that one mistake, completely changed the course of their life and that baby's life. And that's why, again, I reiterate, be very, very cautious who you let watch your children nowadays. Be very cautious in who your younger kids associate with, whose parents they go hang out with, whose kids they spend the night with. We aren't living in the 50s anymore. This isn't the 1900s. There are things out there. There are people out there. There are certain compounds out there that can kill you in a heartbeat. And there's certain people out there that want nothing more than to do great bodily harm to your family or your children. This is a super negative topic. Didn't want to bring this up, but I wanted to give everybody a heads up on this, because this is a very sobering conversation I had with this lady. So be very careful who your children are around, especially young kids, and understand that it's really, really important right now to just be aware of that. I just want to put that out there, Dad, because it was an interesting conversation.
It's funny because, I mean, you know, what's interesting about that is it's horrible. My deepest condolences
to ladies
watching the show. I mean, it's a horrible, horrible story. But, you know, I went to my class reunion a few months ago, and we were talking about how blessed we were to be raised in the 50s and the 60s, before the country, you know, basically went on a grease track to hell. But we saw it happening with the music coming out of Hollywood. We saw it happening with Timothy O'Leary, with all the college campuses and the use of LSD, with the CIA. We saw the gradual degradation that occurred in the 50s and the 60s. But it was still a magical time. You could still walk around the neighborhood, go play baseball, go play football, go ride your bicycles. And not even you here, you know, 30 years ago.
In the 90s,
back in the 90s, it was like that. But now it's not like that anymore. Now you have people looking at people's windows in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It had to happen here
recently. You got children that are basically trying to abduct children on the sidewalk while they're walking home from school. We've all seen the videos. I saw one the other day. This little girl walking home. She's like 8 years old walking home. And one of the Ring cameras caught it on camera. This guy walks up there, grabs her by the arm, tries to drag her out to a car in the middle of the street. She's screaming and yelling and kicks him and pitches a fit. He finally lets go of her, and she runs off. This is happening now. This is not a joke anymore. It's really occurring, and this is what happens again.
Child trafficking.
With child trafficking, what happens with lawlessness. That's when the ethics and morals of society completely degrade, this is what you have happen.
You know what's interesting? In contrast to Mayorkas and his fellow progressive, most Americans feel a greater moral duty to whom they are the closest, beginning with a close circle of families and friends and relatives. This spreading out to fellow state residents, then to other fellow Americans, and then much weaker to foreigners and unfamiliar, distant people. Now, this is a good article. It's saying that basically we have a circle of friends that expands, but it doesn't include people that are coming into this country illegally, who are coming to rob, kill, steal, and destroy, and get $10,000 debit cards when they riot, and get free telephones and free housing. I mean, we have an entire neighborhood over on the other side of the street. I mean, hundreds of homes. It's all Hispanic. In fact, I have a friend who is moving here to Central Florida, and we tried to rent a house over there. When we called the phone number up on the on the sign out front, they only spoke Spanish.
Yep.
One lady spoke, answered the telephone. She couldn't even speak any English. And then I called back, got a recorder, and basically he never, ever returned my phone call because they're looking for Hispanic renters because they're looking to put more people in there that are coming across the border and getting free government
subsidies. And to get the federal
subsidies.
Money. Yep, that's exactly, right. The subsidy money.
And now Riley's mother is a Christian, and she wrote this, the girl who was killed. As I sat down to write this message, I just really have no words. My family has faced the most devastating, unimaginable loss that anyone could ever be forced to endure. I would like to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for being with me and my family during this heartbreaking time. I encourage everyone to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I give him all the glory for getting us through this. It would be really easy to lose our faith in mankind. I have, by the way, this is what I disagree with. I have zero faith in mankind. I have certain faith and hope in certain people that I know that walk the walk and talk the talk. Because remember something, friends, your walk talks a lot louder than your talk talks. She goes, but it'd be easy to lose our faith in mankind because of this senselessness and avoidable tragedy. The amount of love, support, and help that we have received during this horrific nightmare is overwhelming. I can't begin to tell you how much we have appreciated all the texts, the calls, the flowers, the meals, the groceries, the bows, the pictures, the personal gifts, the memorials, the gift cards, the donations, the Lakens Foundation. We are beyond grateful for everyone who has stepped up here for this difficult time. Tell the parents out there that I want to lay this on your heart. I can assure that you have no greater gift than you can give your children to walk alongside them and help them to develop their relationship with Jesus. Hear what she just said? On top of everything else, she knows this. She goes, I know my sweet Lakin knew Jesus personally, and she will live eternally in his home. He never left her side until the very last second when she was left the earth and would be with him in heaven forever and ever. Now, there's something I want to share with you on this. The hope that we have in glory, the hope that we have in Jesus is very, very real. Because the God of the universe, who created the universe, is Jesus. We talked about this in Angel Wars. That's why we always want to have protection around us and always walk circumspectly with God and always pray for God's protection. It's really, really important you learn how to do that. And I've taught you how to do that on the show before. You have to, you basically have to, sometimes if you live in a haunted house, which by the way can be very, very real, you've got to anoint the doorpost with oil. You've got to plead the blood of Christ over the house. You've got to station angels around the house. You have to put a hedge of thorns around the house. All of these things are necessary if you're walking in Christian life and Christian love and you want to be protected by God Almighty. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against these principalities in these other places. We talked about this in depth. This is Satan's lair that we live down here with. This is prison planet for God's fallen angels. They were locked here. I covered that up in Angel. I talked about that in Angel Wars. I exposed that in Angel Wars. We have to understand what we're up against here. We have to continually pray. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. That's what the word says. Austin mentioned something earlier about people take certain pathways to go find the bar of gold or to go get a goal accomplished or whatever. Here's another thing. My pastor Sean Scarborough talked about this in church yesterday. He says that many people go down the road that leads to destruction, but it's not a road that leads to anywhere but a cliff, and you go off the cliff when you drive down that road. And no matter what you do, if you start down that road and you don't stop, you're going off the cliff. It doesn't matter if you don't want to go off the cliff, you're going off the cliff. It depends on who you hang out with. It depends on what you do. It depends on the life that you live while you're here. It's a cliff, and it's not a good place to go. And he starts talking about how God has a place for you, but he also has a place that he wants you to be in that place specifically to honor him and to bring glory to him. And he talked about, it was really interesting, he was talking about the prophet Elijah with Jezebel and Ahab, and he was talking about Elijah, that all of these, this is really good. This is the best part of the sermon. So Pastor Sean's talking about it, and Ahab, then basically Elijah runs off again, takes off, and he's hiding in a cave. Now he's already burned up and killed he's already burned up the altar, the food that they were going to give to the God. God's already called down fire from heaven. They've already slaughtered the 450 prophets of Baal and Baalus, and he's still scared of Jezebel, the witch. Okay, and what he does, he's hiding in a cave. So God goes to the edge of the cave and basically says, "What are you doing?" Now, what God didn't do was this. God didn't walk into the cave, which he could have done, and laid down beside Elijah and pat him on the head, brought him a puppy and a Play-Doh, and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Elijah. What are you going to do now? I mean, I just bless your little heart." He didn't do that. He said, "Elijah, get out of there. What are you doing? What's wrong with you?" Isn't that what we have to do sometimes? We've trained our children to have nothing but games in their life. They do bowling, they do baseball, they do football, they do soccer, they do everything. And their entire life is a game. And so when you get them so they have to start working for a living and get out of the real world and get graduated and do what they need to do, their whole life has been a game. They go from T-ball to baseball to football through life through junior high school through high school, and they get into college. They want to be in intramural sports on top of everything else, and then they graduate, but everything was a game. And so they think everything's a joke, and you can't raise kids like that. You got to teach them there's a real world. I started working when I was 8 years old, but now, mind you, I had a German immigrant mother who had gone through World War II and also just talked about the people who'd gone through the war, and she was, she was hardened from that. And suffering from severe PTSD. And what the crazy part about this is that she tightened this up really young. I used to think, oh, I can't believe she's being so mean about this or so mean about that. But she knew that life wasn't a game. She had survived the rise and fall of the Third Reich. She had seen almost all of the relatives die. She was attacked viciously after the war. All of this stuff makes you realize what life is. It's not a game. You know, kids come home from their baseball game, and they jump on video games, and they want to spend 4 or 5 hours playing video games after they played their other game, but they think the whole world and all of life is a game, and they're completely and totally unprepared for what the real world awaits. And you try to talk to them about life's not a game, they don't even understand what you're talking about, because it is a game to them, because the parents have enabled it. They're creating these weaklings that get into society who are unable to cope and to deal with things without their Play-Doh. You think I'm joking? Colleges and universities are doing this now. I've told you this before. They have their special little safe spaces, the little rooms the children go into, and they have little puppies and Play-Doh there, and they sit there and play with their little toys. These are adults that are doing this. These aren't six-year-olds.
It's by design, though. It's to soften everybody up.
That's exactly right. It's by design to soften everybody up, because a weakened population, a population that can't think for itself, a population that has no critical thinking, is easy to control. What do you think?
100%. It goes back to Orwell said, once you can convince the population to not believe anything they see or anything they hear, and you keep them so softened up, and you go, listen, this is too negative. We don't need to address this going on right now. There's not migrants coming here to kill anyone. They're not militia. They're not doing anything. The border's completely secure. You just need to go back into the library. We've got new Play-Doh. We've got brand new puppies for you. Go back in there and don't worry about anything. Everything is safe and effective. We're here to protect you. That's why I'm such a big proponent of combative sports. That's why I like martial arts with young children. I'm not a huge fan of team players as far as team sports. That's just my opinion as far as in younger children. Do kids need to know how to utilize sports and team sports? Yes, I don't think it's a bad idea at all, and learn how to work and interact with groups. But at the end of the day, at the end of it, when it's all said and done, who is going to be there to protect your children, to protect your family, or protect your kids? And it's going to be you and them. They're not going to have their 20-person football team with them when they get out of high school. They're not going to have their 20-person, you know, baseball team, 40-person baseball team, everybody on the team with them when they get out of college and they start going to the real business world. Nobody's going to be there to save you. You're on your own. And again, a lot of those sports can be really, really good. They can be really, really good for as far as team learning. But at the end of the day, real-world tactics, real-world aspects, and understand that violence is always the last route. But again, at some point in time, everything goes violent. It's like I told you guys before, that old quote, ideals are peaceful, history is violent. It's just where we're at. It's part of society. Also, too, one last story I want to cover, because this is part of getting the truth out there on a regular basis. The U.S. House Representative Subcommittee now has opened up an investigation on why the administration improperly pressured U.S. health regulators to accelerate the approval of the COVID-19 vaccine in 2021. This is under the Biden administration when they gave Comirnaty approval so they could go and mandate it. I told you this when it happened in this fall of 2021. Representative Brad Winstrom, Ohio, Republican out of Ohio, chairman of select subcommittee, renewed a request for previously submitted in September 2023 for information. They cited testimony from February 15th last month in which Peter Marks, PhD, director of the FDA Center for Biological Evaluation, suggested the agency faced pressure to quickly approve the Pfizer vaccine known as Comirnaty that had never been manufactured to facilitate federal vaccine mandates under OSHA. The whole thing was a complete and total play. During the hearing, Mark states there was an acknowledgement that an approval could allow vaccine mandates to occur under OSHA. According to the press release, the subcommittee uncovered exactly what we said back then. uncovered previous documents revealing that scientists warned Dr. Marks and other FDA officials on record about numerous occasions on the dangers of rushing the COVID-19 vaccine approval process, but the FDA had seemingly disregarded the warnings and dismissed the scientists who raised the concerns. One of those concerns raised by Dr. Marion Gruber and Dr. Philip Cross noted documentation reviewed by the subcommittee related to the pediatric plan to study an increased risk of myocarditis in adolescents before Pfizer's vaccine could ever be approved. It was disregarded, and it was approved anyways under the brand name Comirnaty that never existed. Comirnaty still never been produced, by the way. A lot of people don't realize that. This is what they did in September 2021 and approving Comirnaty so the emergency use authorization shot could get approved, and then turn around and OSHA came in and tried to do the mandate under Biden that ended up getting thrown out by the Supreme Court. And here we are today at the middle of beginning phase of 2024. The CDC now drops its five-day COVID isolation guidelines. It says treat the COVID like the flu. Essentially, if you test positive for it, you essentially do not need to have 5 days quarantine. If you are sick, stay home. If you start feeling better and you're fever free within 24 hours, you can go to school and go to work. Treat the COVID as the flu now.
Unbelievable. Which is exactly what we said. And we said a year before they did it, they're going to put it on the shot schedule for the children.
And now it's there under Comirnaty because it got approved.
That's exactly right. So now they're injecting six-month-olds with this mess.
Yep.
By the way, a journalist is now appearing in federal court in leg and belly chains to face January the 6th misdemeanors because he was on Capitol grounds. A journalist. There's a picture of him here. And he basically is walking into court in belly chains, hands canted, like he's a five-time convicted felon with murderer and has ankle braces.
That's to do with first-degree murder convicts.
Well, it's
the visual impact.
It's the visual impact of all the people that think that they may have to stand as a patriot, that we're going to do this to you as a journalist. He never did anything wrong besides being on Capitol grounds. He shows up in belly chains and shackles like a slave, like a peasant, because he's been in court and he's been in jail now for 2 years. He hasn't been no.
Unbelievable.
So here's the problem we have.
What are we doing?
Well, what we're doing is you said with Orwell, that the state has become all powerful. The problem with that is once the state becomes all powerful, the people finally have enough of it. And that's what we're trying to avoid here by telling the people to wake up and pay attention to what's going on. Wow.
Yeah.
Tense show today, guys.
Thank you, my friends.
By the way, magnesium brain food helps get rid of brain fog. Love this stuff. On sale for a couple more days. You need to get some, please, and just support Health Masters and realize that we give you the best supplements we can possibly make for you in the world. We take this stuff personally, and I love it. Oh, perfect, Austin. Right at the edge. Hang it over.
Appreciate you guys. If you need anything, you know where to get help with us. Healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again on this show tomorrow, as always.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.